Today we are going to discuss the Access to Work system. Now this is from the Department of Work and Pensions and it helps people with disabilities into employment or even remain in employment. It helps fund things like adaptions, assistive technology, support workers, travel to work. Now there is a Lords cross-party committee at the moment looking at the Access to Work system because there have been issues over the past few years. Estelle Morris is the chair of that committee. Thank you very much for joining us, Estelle.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Tell me first of all then about this Lords Committee. How does it actually work?
So we're the Committee on Public Services. So we look at all public services, including education and health. But we're particularly interested in where departments ought to be working together and they're perhaps not working together. So there's 12 members from all the groups and we very much work consensually. It's not part of Parliament where we're yelling at each other and trying to score points. The end result is to get a report that we all agree with, that we all sign up to, which goes to government. The government have to respond, and then there's a debate. So, we really want to influence government policy. So coming from a cross-party background is a good way of doing it. And the other main thing from the RNIB's point of view is we can only put in our report things that we have learned through looking at evidence during the course of the report. So although we research things, what matters most to us is the evidence that people send to us and the organisations send to us. But anybody who's listening who wants, who's got a view or had experience and wants to submit evidence, that will be very, very gratefully received. And what we're looking at in this is, you're absolutely right, we're looking at that support from the DWP. But we want to go broader than that and look at the whole of the area of transition from education to employment for young disabled people. We're concentrating on younger people, so either from school to work, or from college to work, or from university to work.
Now, many of our listeners will be blind or partial sighted or know someone who is, and many of them will use Access to Work or maybe using Access to Work in the future. And when we look back at education as well, you know, the support that has to be in place to help people, say, with sight loss through schools, further education, higher education, and that can be quite broken up. They may have to do different things to apply for different support and so on. So is it really looking to make this a smoother process from education right through into employment? That would incorporate, obviously, Access to Work as well.
You got it absolutely right there, because what the statistics show us is that there's more unemployment among people with disabilities than others. And very, very often there's some statistics that show that they're more likely to be bullied. And when they try to take a complaint through the legal system or the tribunal system, they're less likely to be able to access it. So that's the area, you're absolutely right. And I think you picked up something there that was absolutely crucial. It's how the bits of government work together. You can read something on paper, it looks as though it's a great system. Try to access it, and it's sometimes a different story. So what we'd like from people is their views of how it works. And just to say, we're really looking for good practice as well. We're already collecting examples of employers who really have good practice at enabling young people with disabilities to move from study or school or university or college into work. So although we do want to know where it goes wrong, we want to know where it goes right as well. Or any comments on how it's going quite well, but could be further improved.
An important point, as you say, you know, looking for best practice to highlight and show you that it works this way. You know, let's try to mirror this in different areas. Could it possibly even look at almost like a passport that people could have that really shows the support they need from education through to employment that could move with them, and perhaps that may help, you know, join up the different government departments?
That sounds a good idea, and if that was to come forward to us, we'd be able to have a look at that. Because one of the issues is, of course, what we all know is that a lot of people with disabilities, although not all, have education, health and care plan while they're at school. And I know how difficult they are to get, but that sort of can assist them and give them some levers to pull. But that goes when they leave. So that sort of passport that's not a plan in any way, but is sort of a record of what is needed, I think might be helpful. That's the sort of idea that we're interested in seeing where it goes right. Or sometimes, you know, the changes that are needed to take it from poor to good or good to great are actually quite small. And the people who can often tell us what we need are people who have what we now call lived experience. But it's people who've got experience either through themselves or their families or just through observation and general interest and can help improve the system. I think that's a good idea, and I hope you'll perhaps put it in the evidence that I'm hoping you'll submit to us.
I'll do just that. Once the evidence has been gathered and you've asked the questions and you're deliberating over the responses, what is the process then after all that takes place?
This inquiry is going to start after the King's speech. So it's going to start about November. So where we are at the moment, we've done a call for evidence. And what that does, it outlines the general areas that we're going to look at and asks for people to submit evidence before the 21st of September, so that by the time we start, the whole of the shape of the report reflects the evidence that we've got. So that's the first thing. Although we don't start till November, the call for evidence is now. And then we've split it into three parts, really. The first part is going to be talking to people who've got experience of having a disability and moving from education to work, and organisations who've got experience of helping them to do so. The second bit would be talking to employers about their experience in working with people with disability. And one of the areas we want to look at in the third area is, in our country, we've got a system that means if things go wrong and you don't think you've been treated well, well, then you're able to go to tribunal or go through a legal process. So how does that work for people with disabilities? So that's the evidence we gather, and that will be over 2 to 3 months. You know, it's not a short period, really. And then we look at all the evidence we've got. We've got a really good team of officials with us, policy analysts, who go through all that evidence, write it into a report, come up with recommendations. Then we meet the minister. The minister appears before us. And that's when we'll go back to disabled people and people with disabilities and say, are these recommendations the right ones? And what would you like us to ask the minister? Then it's published for everyone to see, and the government have to respond. And then there needs to be a debate in the House of Lords. We don't think we'll publish the report till about next Easter. So it's quite a lengthy process. It's very thorough, I hope.
If people are or would like to submit evidence, is that an easy process to do?
Yes, we've really worked hard on this, and you know, feedback on this would be great. If you go to committees.parliament.uk and look for the Public Services Committee, and that email address is HL, stands for House of Lords, HL Public Services at parliament.uk. Look for the call for written evidence. And when you go into that, it will tell you exactly what to do. And obviously, it's not just written reports. What we've made sure that we've done is it's in a number of different formats, including audio, BSL, easy read, as well as the standard format. But if none of those suit you, or if none of those help you to give your evidence to our committee, just let us know and we'll make sure that you're able to give your evidence in a different way. Without the evidence from the people who know about this area, we can't write the report and nothing will change. So I can't really impress upon people enough how important it is that if they've got something to say, had got an experience or got a view, to let us know before the end of the month.
And that deadline is the 21st of September?
It's the 21st of September. But look, if you've got, I will get into trouble by saying, giving a mass extension, and we can't do that, but because we need the time to look through the evidence. But if there's a reason why you're struggling to get it to us by the 21st of September, again, just contact us through our website and we'll do our best to accommodate that.
It's a story we'll certainly follow here on RNIB Connect Radio. For the moment, Estelle, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much. And if you want me at some future point to let you know how it's going, I'd be delighted to do so. Thank you.